entering the DGTC.
Are you ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008. What the fuck do I know?
Drawing hands is my kryptonite.
Dark loading up elbow logos.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and uncommon perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show. All right, guys. Well, we're back again. What's up, everybody? It's been a while.
I know, since we've all been together, it's true.
Yeah, I missed out on the last one, but I listened to the episode and it was fucking great.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
I really liked it.
Okay, good. Yay.
I got a lot out of talking about it, too. I think that was kind of the neat thing about, like,
I love how that transpires when we hold these episodes. You feel more world-rounded with respect to the discussion topic at hand, for sure.
Exactly. And so many, they made me think so many different things too. Even just like on all fronts, what we're kind of doing right, what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Like, it's just like, to me, it was good to get that all out and just be like, okay, I got to do something here to make it better. Right. I don't think all 18 of whatever clients of mine are going to do anything.
and just like in this job, at least for me, like I learn from failure pretty much exclusively at this point, right? Like it's so impactful.
Yeah.
So it was good to kind of dig into that a little bit.
It's funny. All of us do, but there's only so many that mention it out loud.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. But honestly, like that's where the nuggets are, you know, like I've changed everything because I messed up on something or like something happened, which wasn't exactly what we wanted to happen. I'm like, all right, I'm never going to do that again. Or like my process is now shifting. So that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I've been changing it up so much the last 2 weeks because, and I was curious to know, I think before we get into our fun little topic here, have you guys seen a difference in just kind of either onboarding or new potential clients being quite different based on the wave of what we've gone through over the last year and a half?
Yeah. I mean, and we've touched on that just you and I, Nick, but like you mentioned kind of like, maybe first time business owners getting into like the process and not really having kind of like a clue. It's a lot of hand holding. I found a lot more inquiries and a lot more like first time businesses, which is interesting.
Yeah. And with that comes more of the holding their hand, walking them through the process, showing your value, showing your role. You know, I always go back to that, you know, the it's because I'm a doctor, damn it. Like, that's why you take my doctor's advice. Same idea with when you're hiring any other professional, regardless of the industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Or like they want something besides the proposal or like, you know, the deck you send them with your work.
It's
like,
well,
can you, you know, comp something together so we can see what you do. Like, no, I can't do that.
You're reading my mind.
In the last few months, man, it's nuts. Like, you want to be delicate, but also like, hell no.
Right. Well, and there can be a balance between those two.
Mm-hmm.
But I have noticed that there's a far more, I'm not sure, I defer to you type of conversation.
Yeah.
As
better.
Well as, so now what's next steps? It's far more playing that consult role, don't you think?
That's a great way to look at it.
Just hitting the Canvas board and delivering and reviewing out loud together and then undergoing revisions. It's far more like process-based. Now, what's given this feedback from these shareholders, what happens next? What do you think? Or should we visit this further? Or undergo a different type of interview? Or it's nice to play a little bit more of that higher level.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you get that chance to shine in all those little particular areas.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're almost asking you without you saying, I have to put this into my system.
Yeah.
They're asking you to show it rather than That's a great observation. I need a few of those. Send them my way.
I love that. It's more creative consultant involved. Do you guys find though that you're having to substantiate or there's more people that need to approve proposals and quotes and stuff before you're off and running and you have an official kickoff, because everybody's feeling a little budget nervous, perhaps
sensitive, yeah,
mm-hmm. and sensitive is probably the better term, yeah,
totally. Because I mean, like, you can imagine anyone that got through this and maybe was really down for a year is going to be very cautious about what money they're spending and what they're and they actually
at a different level of paranoia
actually will have a budget. Like, yeah. One team came right back to me and just said, "We have this." Like. And it was a little bit less than what I had quoted. And, you know, I found a way to, again, customize and pull from the scope of services, right? It's not a discount, but it's more like, let me alleviate or take out
your time.
Take out these things and be like, hey, this makes sense, you know? Still didn't happen, but it made me kind of realize. I was like, then I said, have you guys ever done this too, where you're like, do you feel like you've catered too much or bent too much? And then does it show a sign of weakness?
I agree. I think it does. I will oftentimes say, this is the best that I can do.
Good. Yeah. It's your bread and butter. It's how you've set up your shop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I get a very high-pitched voice when I talk about money.
Well, it never gets easy. It's never just like, you know, oh, this will be fine. Like, it's always a little weird because you don't know how people react to it, but it gets easier, at least like on my side of stuff. Like, I don't feel as bad. I don't feel bad. I just feel like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't know how they're going to react. Because especially with these like first-time business, you know, coming in, like sometimes those numbers are shocking. So it's like, I don't know where we're going to land. But mm-hmm. also I find like a lot of my... not a lot of my clients, but like some clients are just feel like they're maybe taking a little bit less risk right now. Like as before pre-pandemic, like we were building up like some really exciting stuff and a lot of stuff gets put on hold. So I'm curious, like I'm excited for like when that kind of comes back around where we're just not getting to the other side. We're actually trying to like really push boundaries. Some aren't, but like, I feel like there was a dip in that, at least from my perspective.
I agree with you.
Yeah. See, and I've seen a flip side too, where I've seen them being very ambitious on certain things too, because it's like time to shine, right? Like, and I guess this is the wonder of what we get to deal with. We have so many different varieties of clients, big, small, you know, nimble, strict, whatever it might be, whatever industry they're in. And isn't it neat to be able to kind of juggle back and forth between those? And it's nice to hear counterpoints from each other to say that, hey, this isn't going around widespread. It's actually the variety of what we get to work with.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, that's cool. Yeah. I had one guy who was doing a shipper box and he's like, I quoted it 4/4, meaning 4-color outside, 4-color inside. I was like, a shipper box? And he's like, it's and he's getting it overseas. And it was actually not that much more expensive than if he was just going to do like a 2-color spot on the outside. And I was like, who is this vendor? And let's go for it, because why, you know, but then on the flip side, I was thinking, does that look like not eco-friendly? You know, that thing about like shipper boxes and whatever, you know, they're just going to be throwing them out. Yeah. Will a person's perception of it look like they've spent too much or they're not being earth conscious? You know?
I mean, I guess it depends on like the brand and product, right?
True.
Like, it's something earth eco-friendly, like definitely out of the product or the
test. It wasn't really anything too green, you know, it's organic.
Yeah.
But like, I wondered, so it was just one of those things like you want to play good cop, bad cop sometimes.
That's right. Totally.
You know? So, but yeah, it's been a wild few months so far, man. It's like the new frontier for what we get to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love it.
A lot of problem solving, which has been.
Yeah.
I love that too.
I tried to give myself a good segue there. I tried to pull a Wes because. Talking about new frontiers, we're talking about rebrands today. And more importantly, like when we look at, wasn't it neat to see so many rebrands happening over the last year? Like sometimes to me, that was so neat to see something happen in our industry and be like, oh, designers are still alive, right? You know, like companies are rebranding during the worst year ever, right?
Yeah.
Or in the... in the case of fast food altogether,
mm-hmm.
they might have been thinking, this is our chance, man. Go yes. for it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right.
As well as DoorDash and all the rest of those, too.
Totally.
Oh, God. And if you were in the situation of like making good from all that time, you know, you were in a good situation as a company or an industry, maybe a good time to do it. And the neat thing, too, is maybe people did reflect on, you know, the core values of their company or whatever it was. Sure. And this rebranding thing, we've all seen it. I mean, we even, you know, I've even just been doing it as quick little exercises in my class with my students and making them do quick mm-hmm. little rebrands just as drills. That's cool. That's but most importantly, you know, there's always a reason behind why a company does the rebrand. And some of the ones we're going to talk about today and kind of just do fun little roundtable discussions on, that we do have the rationale. We have the stuff that they wanted to do as a company and what the agency recommended to do. And so we're thinking, let's look at it and see, like, how did they do, right? Like, what's the future like? And see it, you know? Were there any... before we get into ours and everything, any favorites that you guys just off the top of your head saw that you thought were really kind of game changers over the last few months or year?
I mean, like, I think one of them is in here for sure for me. And then there was another one.
I wasn't sure if I should give it away.
I know.
Yeah.
Sure. But, yeah.
There's another one. I can't remember the name. Their brewery. It's like Blue Point, maybe.
It was just recently.
But
just saw that. With the
it's
big, has
so
like the,
good.
It has like a slim and fat letters all in the same kind of
vibe. Yeah, it's sort of all harnessed around like that circle shape. And then it was a buoy. Now it's a slant.
Yes.
It was on brand new. But
yeah.
It was just, it's so killer. I'm so into the whole thing.
I just saw.
Well, it's so you two to notice that.
Yeah. I just saw.
Beer, yeah.
I think I shared it with you, Jordan, earlier this week, but the Kodo Design put out this incredible brand beer trend report for 2020-21. And one of the best things they showed, I thought was interesting, was how strong the Chobani brand rebrand was from what, 2-3 years ago?
I mean, even more, I think now. It's that's how impactful it is, though.
But they showed it's leaked into the beer industry. And their agency showed a whole set of beer that has been influenced by that vibe and fresh feel and look of the Chobani brand rebrand mm-hmm. that they did. So it's so interesting to see how they're crossing industries, particularly to me. I think that Chobani one, if you think about it, the last 5-6 years, has to be not only one of the best, but like super influential as a new design almost trend vibe, right?
It's almost like it's defined a style. Like that is a style that's being implemented across like all industries, you know, which is nuts, right? It's yogurt, like crazy how impactful.
I know. And I can't think of another brand that might have that amount of, you know, this Burger King one that we're going to get into might be down the road, could be in that zone. Because it's shifting.
You.
It's really, it's a gear shifter, right? Like
it is.
That's what you could say about the Chobani one. Mm-hmm. But I want to quote a good friend of ours, because we've talked to him once, Michael Beirut. he has the best line when it comes to when this whole kind of thing about rebranding wars and people commenting on them so quickly, particularly designers. But he says this, people usually react to a rebrand like they're judging a diving competition. But actually, all these organizations are in a swimming competition. It's not what kind of splash you make when you enter the water, but it's how you can keep your head above the water. Logos need to have a long life, not win points in a discussion. And isn't that just like, I heard that and I was like, I will never ever do that quick response, that knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and like, I think so often there is a lot of that knee-jerk reaction just because we're humans and we just, you know, anything that is change or different is sort of viewed as a negative, just inherently. And so... I'm aware of design Twitter. Like, I know the community's immediate. They're so harsh sometimes just because something's different.
Yeah.
And I think it's one thing to, like, what we're about to do is to share a perspective and, like, talk about things in an open discussion versus declare if a rebrand or logo is good or bad. And I think that's the separation. Mm. Like, I don't really – I don't subscribe to, like, we can't be the arbiters of, that is a good logo. We have no idea. We weren't in the room. We don't know the objectives. You know what I mean? And also the flip side, like,
remember our first take on the, this is your comment just now, Jordan, is reminding me of our first take on the TV, the new TBS.
Yeah.
And were those critiques just totally flip? I mean, off.
It stood the test of time.
It couldn't
be
more beautifully done in my mind now.
Yeah.
And did it take a moment to become more established to our eyes?
There you go.
And again, it's like getting in that personal preference where, like, I might see a rebrand that doesn't align with it, but at the same time, you know, it might accomplish everything it intended to for the brand, right? Like, maybe their objective was to not create a kick-ass Instagram logo, but instead, like, you know, look for an identity that works better for, like, a manufacturing cause, or, like, adopt a different demographic or shift their values. Like, if they achieve that, if the, you know, rebrand achieves that, then it, to me, that's measurable success, and therefore it's a good rebrand. Whether or not I think it's
okay,
a good logo.
Okay, that's cool. I get that.
Yeah,
I get that.
I think it's easy to armchair this stuff, you know, and I think design creatives.
I like the way you phrased that.
Yeah. But I think it's just, you know, to preface everything we're about to dig into, like, these are just kind of personal opinions based on some experience, but also, like, I can't say if any of these are good or bad. And you're right, where, like, sometimes waiting, it's like, fuck, they might be the last ones laughing to the bank. It might totally kill, right? Like, you know, I know another one is, well, I won't introduce them yet, but, like, some of these, you know, my initial reaction was not great, but also
now,
it could also do so well.
Oh, and, like, I think I flipped on all of these because I agree.
Yeah.
Think knowing that little nugget of what Michael said makes me, I still want to look at something and judge it immediately, because just as a designer, and let's be honest, in most cases, jealous I didn't get to do it. Like, right? that's a big part of this whole commentary.
And the last point I make, like, I've known some creatives who've worked on, like, larger scale rebrands like this that get a very, like, a good public opinion on them. And, like, I've seen them see their work just get wrenched and torn apart, and, like, that sucks.
I know.
And I feel as creatives, we know
feel
better.
For that. Yeah.
We know better. Like, how often do we, you know, do a brand or a logo or work with a client and it's 100% what we intended? Like, you know, I think there's a way to, like, be critical and thought put, but, like, not be a dick. Or not say, like, that logo sucks. Like,
well, you said it's ignorant. We weren't in the room. And you can go back to any time you've been a part of something that it was, you met over and over again with the stakeholders, everybody involved. You knew the pain points. So we weren't
there.
And the
amount of red tape, you know what I mean? Like, that shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you see a brand, I think, that large scale that, like, looks interesting or breaks rules or, like, feels weird and risk-taking, even, like, not great in a way visually yet, but, like, God, if it feels like it's taking a risk, like, I applaud that shit. Because it is so hard to get through that. I mean, you know, you guys know, like, it's hard to get those, like, weird stuff through the red tape of big corporate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into it. Our first one's going to be probably the biggest one. Well, they're all huge. Let's just face it. But probably the most exposed one that we've seen all over the place, which was Burger King.
Yeah, most exposed. Yeah. Right.
Woo! I mean,
I'm loving it.
First of all, talk about a rollout. You know, when you think about when a company of the size of Burger King, Starbucks, Subway, McDonald's, that have thousands of locations, imagine the rollout of doing a rebrand.
Yes.
Oh, Mike, the money and the time and the retraining and the uniforms. Here's a perfect example. But here's the rationale behind Burger King. Then
should we pause this and say we have a link to this PDF with
great
all these
idea.
Rebrands that you can just follow along with us. We're just going to scroll the same thing.
Great.
Okay. It'll be in the show notes. Yeah.
Yes. All right, cool.
Great.
So here's the rationale, and then we'll rip it apart.
Okay.
Burger King is making a leap forward by introducing a completely new visual design that will represent throughout all their touch points and guest experiences. And it's inspired by real and delicious foods. The more modern look that the mark has will first be completed and brings back the 20-year history that they once had back in the day with their original one. That was kind of a 20-year-old logo kind of resurfaced in a way. selected colors are unapologetically rich and bold to kind of reflect the ingredients and everything. And they're really pushing new health things that they are no longer doing color stuff. They're no longer doing trying to do saturated fats. Let's face it, they're still, you know, fast food. So I had to put that in there.
I mean,
the last word they said was the design principles capture the unique characteristics of the Burger King brand. Mouthwatering, big and bold, playful, irreverent, and proudly true. So, like, I love that they put those keywords in there, because I think we all kind of work off of those kinds of things. Yeah. So
I think they're being a little liberal with completely new.
Sure.
I mean, it's literally, it's a very throwback. Different, but it's, I mean, yeah, it's a refresh of a different mark. So I'm not really convinced. There's a lot in there that I think is like very marketing fluff, but I do think the end trigger keys makes sense. Like, I think those tie in. Me too. Well.
We all do. We all,
this is definitely a PR written
inevitably.
Statement.
Yeah.
And I look to these because when you're writing rationale sometimes, I'll go on Brand New or a lot of these and just be like, where's that nugget? Where's that line where they are really trying to sell it? And I think as solo entrepreneurs, it's great to kind of see what the agencies do and everything. But one thing that's nice about this is just seeing that timeline from 1954 all the way. It's just incredible, isn't it, to see?
I was never a huge fan of that 99 one. And they use it, man, 99. Like, I didn't realize it's been around that long. But, like, it's always felt very, like, Nerf Super Soaker, right? Like, it feels disconnected from the bunch.
And it already feels dated. And yet it's still up. And let's be honest, I think it's still up everywhere. I haven't seen a new rebranded storefront yet.
It's just digital for now. And that's normal.
And that rollout's coming.
Oh, it's going to take a long time. They have so many custom locations.
Which means that it's fleshed out with their app. They rolled it out with it.
So I'm digging, like, when I look through, I love even just the neutral colors that they're using that are not white. And they have that really nice kind of like off-white, right? And
that nothing is white. It's all, it's all sort of that, that cream, which is dope. Super vintage, right?
Like
I'm a sucker for anything unabashed, like retro Ford branding. Yeah. I'm in. I'm already in. So I'm biased against this just because, like, it checks all my boxes.
The colors, I love they even talked about over-texturizing photography. And they brought that up as a... we've seen that in a lot of our like lookbooks or things that we create for clients where let's say we want the photography to have a certain vibe, lighting, texture or whatever. So,
well, that's a big aspect. And on like, I made a note of just like the photography I think should be called out a lot more in this rebrand and it's not, and I get it, but like the way they're treating these photos is what's tying everything together. And honestly, they use the photos, I would say probably more than a lot of this stuff in their marketing. Cause it's all, you know, photography.
Yes.
But like, yeah, it's like super contrast heavy, really high saturated, like overly sharp, right? And then like hard shadows. So like they're mimicking this sort of film, like it's developed on film aspect, which I think is tying in really nicely. Like
that's a great way to talk about it because here we are so digital and yet they're trying to go back and be nostalgic. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to add the Polaroidish grain in the photography, right?
Yeah, it's just like those old harsh shadows, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that film was developed in a certain way, and I think they're just trying to, like, pull from that, and I think it's killing it. Like,
But it's also a modern approach for a dated style that is perhaps, I don't know if retro is the proper term here.
Nostalgic.
But it's got,
Because what is retro? It could be different for, regardless of, you know, where you grew up, what your age is, all those things contribute to what retro and all that means. But you could say this is a blast from the past. It's like this nostalgic thing about it. I you know, so, but I'm liking it more now than I did maybe when it first came out. I thought it might've been, it felt like an easy rebrand to me.
It's not groundbreaking, right? Like, I think and this is where you get to like the yogurt company. I can't remember right now.
Chobani.
But like, you know, it's definitely a thing where going sort of this retro groovy route is becoming more trendy. Right? And, and they're following suit. They executed it really well. And they're kind of lucky, like, they've been around long enough where it feels genuine to the brand still. It doesn't feel like a huge disconnect. But you see people like Pizza Hut had a really big success doing this right before then, too. And like, you're kind of seeing, you know, I'm curious, like, with the success of this, because it's been a big hit. I mean, people have talked about it for months now. Mm-hmm. Like, how much this will influence more and more people to
like kind both of Pizza Hut and Burger King having fonts that non-designers even talked about. Like, that's making quite a splash, you know, which is great.
Yeah.
How long do you think this has? Does this have legs?
Yeah, I think they might. I think for sure the logo does. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I would say, you know, they might explore, like, the type might get tough after a couple years. Who knows? But just because some things feel a little disconnected, I don't know though. But like the way they treat their warp text versus the way they're treating like those illustrations on the phone app, like those are dope and those aren't used anywhere else, which I'm surprised.
I think my favorite slide is those three social media things on the phones. Like those illustrations, to me, are a perfect combo of past and now. Like they, I just, I mean, I'm not a Burger King customer. And I think too, you got to think like, how does it, can it attract some new people? You know, you know, can it attract people that maybe haven't gone there? Can it make a McDonald's person switch over? Like it's the whole Coke Pepsi
It
battle.
Really is a good, I like the style of hands are impossible. We've talked about this before too.
Oh, God.
Hands are disgusting to work on. I hate it. Yeah. I loathe it. And it's fabulous what they've done here. It's got a comfortable yet whimsical approach. And it's not too playful and therefore feeling juvenile.
Yeah.
It's super approachable.
Yeah.
And it's simplistic, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a really nice balance to everything. And again, like it does feel like there's a nice cohesive blanket across. Like a few weird disconnects, just a little, but like I think it's still everything works. You know, everything works really nicely.
Yeah. Do you think their exterior stuff has
That's the disconnect for me.
Is the good. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So,
but like it makes sense. Like I read somewhere that like they just built out and refreshed all of their locations before this rebrand hit, right? Like maybe a year or so. So, like, they're not going to do that again. So, we're stuck with this, like, weird retro nod to this very chic, like, modern, sleek, clean vibe of their environment.
Yeah, interesting. And, like, I don't think they meld. I'd almost be more excited to see this new brand slapped on a building in Palm Springs that is, more of that architectural feel that's
fun. Mid-century, having a big, you know. So, wouldn't it be neat, too, if they... Yeah, and again, reality strikes, right? You like you said, Jordan. Yeah. Like, if they were to rebuild and make all, so a new one will get this look, maybe in a way. But the old ones have to be, the retrofitting's got to be insane, and then every single one of them's totally different.
Yeah,
you know.
Did you see the King white artwork in the parking slips?
Yeah.
Yes. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that's an interesting thing because he's staying because of how I guess the success. Maybe focus group said they like the guy, but he's not a part of the old. You know, they had an older king. They had a different king, which I think it'd be funner to go to. I think the current king is scary as hell.
and I think they've leaned into that. Like they marketed him like as a very strange, like he's in people's houses just like silently. And like, like they definitely played with like, this is a creepy mascot. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, honestly, as looking at this as a whole though, I feel like the chef's kiss though is that monogram.
Oh, the BK.
It's so good, dude. It's so good.
It's great. It's great.
Like, when you see something that simple and you go, oh my God, like good for them. Like, I hope they use it well. I really do because I think it is, you're right. It is that little jewel, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember the creative because I think the agency contracted someone to do that outside of them.
I think you're right. It was showed up somewhere else, I believe, and someone did take the credit for that, I believe.
It's so good though.
For the monogram.
God damn.
Well, what do you guys think? Give it. Let's give it a grade.
A grilled to perfection.
Yeah, the typical A through F. What grade do you give it for longevity? For did they do their job right?
I give it a B.
Yeah, I would give it. I would give it a B plus A. Like I think it's going to be around. Even going back to that logo, like I don't think they're going to change that anytime soon.
True.
You know, maybe refining little things, but like, I think it's going to be around for a bit.
I like this icon set. And I like that they're featuring Home of the Whopper because how aged is that?
Yeah. Do you guys see on this photo with like all the packaging items on that red background?
Yeah.
Why that one? There's one burger that's like in green and the logo's all solid green. Like, it's a very strange choice to do.
It's their.
Is that the garden?
It's their impossible. It's their impossible meat.
Oh, okay.
It's their veg burger.
So there's the only thing that you might see me have. But I, again, too, like I think in some ways when a company tries to, and I'm glad that they're actually changing ingredients to match what this marketing strategy is, because I've seen way too many times the marketing strategy just say, you know, we do this, we do that, whatever. And it's they're selling crap. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so hopefully they are truly making some strides in that, because I think that's a huge responsibility a lot of these fast food companies have.
I feel like I didn't, that doesn't register with me. Like, I don't see this brand. I'm like, oh, they're making healthier choices. Like, I didn't even know that until you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's more in their DNA, which is.
So I'm wondering though, if that was a big objective. My grade might go down because, like, I didn't register that at all. If that was the objective of the rebrand,
maybe. I have to share with you guys. Last night, when one of their latest, more recent commercial campaigns came on, I was sitting with Oakley and they were showcasing their chicken fries, and it's packaged in the chicken face, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you see there, and Oakley said it made him feel sad.
Well, it's a sad chicken. He's very, I mean, like, and I saw a bunch of notes on that sad chicken.
Which should not be what you're striving for. If you're going to devour and splurge and call it a Friday eat anything day, you need to be sensitive to, with respect to, what's in the fry. I mean, remember how much BS McDonald's chicken nuggets has gotten over the years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the straight up sad chicken face on at the very front and center. I mean, holy shit, are you turning off those vegetarians where you're promoting their impossible meat at the same time? It's weird.
There's a lot they've got to juggle because they're trying to be everything to everybody. And
yeah,
it's crazy.
And that's a tough one. So I think, to me, like, you know, the agency I was at for years prior to my own thing, our biggest client was Burger King. And so getting a good insight into their thing, and they changed a lot. They've gone through two ownerships, I think, since then. But, like, it was interesting to see the decisions they made they really are thought out, even though you think some things could be contradicting or a little bit like bipolar, because you're like, whoa, you can't do this and do that. But they had a thing that I thought was always very interesting. They called it the super fan. And if the super fan agreed, meaning like the person that goes like six times a week, that's all that mattered.
That's a good lesson across the board, honestly. Yes. If anyone does branding work with clients, like, that's where I'm always trying to get people to register. It's like, you don't want to just constantly try to find new people. They'll come. Like, cater to your demo, cater to, like, who you want to, you know.
Oh, yeah. And they can get the data from that very quickly and see what these people, you know, what their thoughts are. So, like, they're okay with maybe putting off someone or, you know, not getting a lot of new. Because, boy, think of the core they have, which is really interesting. I was going to say a B plus. I was going to go B plus on it because it's gaining on me. Again, I think you can juggle challenge. You can juggle execution and everything. I think it's here to stay. I think you're right. I think, like, the logo won't go anywhere. You'll probably see some fine tuning of it through the years. And that's natural. I think a company should do that. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Yeah. Next up is, I love this one. I think this is great. The Cadbury one is just like, I mean, and this is candy and things like this are my complete downfall. So, like, you put it in attractive packaging and it's just oh my God, I absolutely love it. Let me tell you a little bit about the Cadbury thing here. It's created by the design agency Bulletproof. I'm sure we've all heard of them. They're incredible. You can check them out as well. The new look and feel, which includes a redrawn word mark, new iconography, and new typography, aims to reinforce the unique Cadbury dairy milk. That's really number one. Now, I'm assuming with that, is that because there's so many other milk alternatives? Like, where else would milk come from? I mean,
Well, I'm not really familiarized with this brand. I know, like, they're, you know, sort of an international brand. It definitely lean more towards, like, you know, UK, Britain, but, like, I don't know. Is dairy milk, is that what they're, I think that might just be what they're called prior to this, right? Like, this isn't the first dairy milk.
No, it's not.
It's like the sub-brand, right?
They really, but they're putting the emphasis on that. Why they did this new mark that shows, I think their idea was to say, like, look at the visual. Milk is being poured right into the chocolate. Like, that's how wholesome it is. That's how real it is. So they really want to push those milk, dairy milk assets, the product story at a time when consumers are looking for more natural, authentic, and higher quality offerings. The dairy milk logotype, which we were just talking about, has been recrafted And it has they have that pattern in the background. They love this idea of kind of the Willy Wonka vibe as well in there. Mm-hmm. And some of those patterns dated back from 1905 when they were originally created. Gives them a greater depth of purpose to the iconic Cadbury purple, providing an element of discovery on the packaging. Oh, I'm going to write that one down because I'm going to use that over and over again.
There's a lot of good sounding stuff in that.
They ended with rich heritage and the feeling of nostalgia. Boy, we are hearing that a lot.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's broad enough to, like, anyone can really execute that. But, like, I do think they leaned into it nicely with that script redo where,
I know
that, like, there's been a lot of discussion about, like, that B in legibility. And I don't really want to get into, like, the legibility necessarily because I think his signature, it's much closer to his signature, which, okay. Like, again, if objective is to lean back into, like, that heritage founding of this brand, like, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it looks great. You know, I think starting with just the script logo comparison, like, I like that it's not on a weird arc. I like that it's a little bit slimmed down. It feels, you know, kind of
aged up, elevated. And interestingly, both Burger King and Cadbury went that route where because Burger King had that slant as well.
What I'm, much as I love that new Cadbury script, I love their font, the dairy milk, the whole,
whole nut.
You know, that to me is that perfect example of like, it's super recognizable, super familiar, but it has a hint of something new in it. Just like that, the way swishes, the tail of the Y is, right? Exactly.
I like it too.
Sometimes those are the best.
So approachable.
And even that is clever. If you look at that old logo, like I see where they pulled that sort of trajectory path from. You look at the milk, like that droplet swooping off the tail of the milk in the previous logo. Like that probably influenced that sort of direction a bit. And it works so well. Like, because otherwise without that, it would be kind of boring. Like those are just like nice.
No doubt. You know, no doubt. I know that K to me is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like creamy. It feels like, I don't know what it is, but like I'm into it.
Well, and this is a perfect brand face that has to have the pairing of typefaces that jive really well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's front and center too, right?
Yeah. Like it is.
It's 80% of the front. You know what my first thought was this was here they are as the most commercial brand and they are fighting against probably a lot of the boutique chocolatiers and these, you see, I mean, they're everywhere now. Like you know, boutique products are no longer in just the high end, very expensive one-off shops. They're in Target, they're in these stores. Yeah. And so these guys now have to look as cool and hip. And I think that pattern in the back is probably its strongest thing because it's so subtle. But I feel like it's the assurance of I'm getting a good value. Like this should be more expensive. Don't you think?
Yeah. And like, dude, I think my favorite takeaway is like that purple. I don't know why it works so well, but like, I feel like the contrast of that white on purple, I've never seen a more milky white. Like it registers so well. Like even those glass vectors of the milk glasses, like I've never really been a guy who just drinks milk from a glass, right?
Same.
But like, I don't know, man. I'm like, I would drink those. Those look delicious. They're like creamy. It's like thick white milk.
Yes.
Like it looks good. And I think it all has to do with that Pantone purple is perfect.
Oh,
like it's the perfect
with their packaging. What a challenge.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
What a challenge to have to marry. Ugh.
Yeah. Cause like you start getting into their offerings and then I think it starts for me to disconnect a little bit, like when you get into so many different variations of flavors. That's a hard thing to do though, you know.
It is very hard.
And here's another thought, you know, did some of those conversations say like, guys, we have to be more relevant and we have to do these pairings, we have to do these collabs. Like
you look at
how Doritos and all these and Mountain Dew have been, oh my god, they're almost like you see just a regular Mountain Dew now and you go, what's wrong? Who's the collaboration with, right?
Yeah, it's like how Budweiser has transpired too.
So what a challenge, not only to have the high-end ones that look all Cadbury, but then to have the ones that also bring in other equities.
You have to really make sure that there's no cheapening. And how do you accomplish that? I mean, the peanut brittle with the jaggedness there, damn it. You know, you're going, there's not a real consistent flow with any.
And the choice, again, like there's sort of two subsets where like you have that primary one and then you have sort of like maybe the main internal flavors, the hazelnut, the milk chocolate, the marble, the fruit and nut, the caramel. And then you have the sort of like co-branded stuff with the Oreo and whatever. But like that's, I think at least with the internal stuff, like I don't know why they decided to go with like different fonts for each one. I think that's where you start getting into problems. It's like they feel disconnected a little bit.
Is that maybe because the personality needs to kind of come through? Maybe those again might be.
It's just a lot, though, like a pattern on top of custom vectors, on top of a logo, on top of a brand hit at the top, on top of like a photo in the middle, on top of custom type on the each subset.
We've totally discussed this.
With LaCroix. Yeah. LaCroix is that miracle brand of like, how on earth did that ever get so huge?
The brutalism, man. That was the start of like things that are so silly and ironic, you like them, and then they become actually cool. Like, you don't, you know. But I read a couple reactions to this when it rolled out of how Americanized it felt from the perspective of, you know, the UK. Yes. And I didn't really appreciate like how distinct American branding can be. But looking at it through the previous stuff, especially a lot of the iterations and like a lot of other chocolates around that area, to kind of like where this one is now, like it definitely, I can see how abrupt this one feels. Like it's way more brash and loud compared to like a lot of other stuff in this category and their older stuff, like which was a bit more like refined, a bit more elegant. Yes. Like this one feels a little bit louder. So, you know, and I don't know, I can't definitively say if that's like because it's more Americanized take on the brand, because I think the agency is an American, right? Agency, but
yeah.
But it definitely is an interesting topic. Like I wouldn't have considered that had I not read a bunch of people like who said it feels
American. Yeah, how they have to cater to an international audience, and it's how hard. Expensive it would be to do different versions of these things all over the place. And maybe there are, but I think they're to have a universal brand language that's going to work, that is flexible, and I think still stands out and gives it. Notice too, they have the 100% sustainable sourced cocoa. So like, again, they're thinking of that audience as well now. That's on the front of every single one.
Well, that's where it gets busy, right? Those secondary sub-brand stuff, like that's a very busy packaging. Like the pattern almost is a problem. I don't know.
Yes.
It's just, there's a lot of information.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing. I don't know how you would really achieve that. You know, like it's hard to just like bring that all in because they do so much.
Yeah.
They're a huge brand. I will say the best part for me is those fucking socks. Did you see those socks?
Yes.
Dude, and that shirt? So dope. I would wear those socks. It's only in the video. They have a weird picture in here that's not the one that's in the video.
Gotcha.
The video, they're like halfway filled up. It's dope.
Yeah.
They're so good.
The merchandise I love that the new necessary application you have to have in any case study now is a tote bag. Yeah. And like, and there's always
probably because there's so many mock-ups of them, right? Like, I don't even know if those are real.
Yeah. The best thing is the brand new comments that are on all the comments on there. They always end with a like, oh, that's a great rebrand, but can it tote? Because like, it's like the ultimate test. What do you guys give the Cadbury rebrand?
This is interesting. Like, I think immediately my gut was like, I don't know, it's fine, it doesn't resonate because I don't love milk chocolate, but like I would have said a C, but I watched the video and I saw things in context, and like I would give it like a solid B. Like I'm into it now, you know.
Mikhail?
Like, it resonates.
I agree with Jordan, but to me this is a little bit lower grade wise than the Burger King efforts.
Ooh, we have our first argument, because I'm going to give it an A.
Really? You give this an A, huh?
I love it because I think in a lot of ways Cadbury is right there, right above like a Russell Stover's, which like, you know what I'm talking about. It's the most like bargain basement.
Yeah, the
like,
boxed wine of chocolate.
And I feel like they had to make a pretty big shift to me, and it has this like fantastic, if it could work in a boutique and it could work at a thrifty or a, you know, or a supermarket, it to me it's this perfect balance, and I don't think that's a hard task for a design team, so I'm kind of really thinking it's
okay,
quite
so
successful.
Are you basing your grade off knowing what the challenges, the roadblocks, the pain points? Is that a huge part of your consideration?
Oh, I'd say it's 50-50, that and the execution. I love it. I think I'm so impressed with small real estate getting that much richness, balance, personality, focus.
Yeah.
Some of them have excitement, but you know, I know what we were saying about these co-branded ones with like Oreo and the other ones, but the Cadbury still has its dominance and its and it's super clean vibe on the top half of that thing. And they switched it, to a vertical package. They have the horizontal ones. I think a lot of time and effort went into this, and I feel like it shows. That's why I'm giving it an A.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's well said. And again, like, it's hard to judge them based off the sub-branded stuff just because, like, I don't know if there is an answer. Like, honestly, you know, they're trying to – it's going to be contradicting because you're putting two brands on top, and both people, I assume, have, like, all these brand guides that they need met. So, yes. Like, yeah, that's going to be hard, right? Like, that purple and the blue, the Oreo, I think looks fucking terrible because those colors don't complement, but they're both primary brand colors. So, like, that's why they have to be. But, yeah, you're right. If you kind of pull back and look at, like, where they were before, excluding – that sub-brand stuff, like, I think it's great. You know, that's where, like, that nice... Mm-hmm. I think middle of the road B. I think... I don't love... There's a lot going on. I think they could simplify it by not customizing every text for every piece, but...
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to send a whole box of them to you. You're going to have a whole other... When you see these
live... What a punishment.
What a punishment, I know. All right, next up. This one was probably, I'd say, the most... Maybe not even the most controversial, but probably the most knocked down, and that's what GM has just done in redoing their entire branding. And before I read their rationale, let's reemphasize too. GM is a parent company of many smaller or car brands. And again, this branding
even
only exists.
Now, but yeah.
Yeah, this branding only exists truly as the corporate brand of the entire entity of Cadillac, Chevy, GMC trucks, Cadillac. They've lost many along the way, but always remember, this is not for application to the product.
I feel
product.
Like people thought this was going to go on a car. You know what I mean?
And in the past, they did go through a whole thing where every GM car did have a tiny little GM badge.
I just mean like the hood of a car. Like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird look. It's like, that's not.
So here's what they want to say. As GM amplifies into its EV message, it also has created a revitalized brand identity designed for a digital-first environment. The new logo builds on a strong heritage. Here we go again. Nostalgia. While bringing a more modern and vibrant look to GM's familiar blue square. The new GM logo features a color gradient of vibrant blue tones evoking the clean skies and zero emissions. Within the negative space, this I didn't catch, of the M is a nod to the shape of the electrical plug.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, obviously they're taking the pre-existing one, which... you know, probably the most simple logo in the world, but very highly identifiable as the old GM logo.
Every seatbelt.
Exactly, right? Of any car, any GM car, it was always, that was one of the only applications there. So I guess before we even get into this thing about here, a lot of the controversy was GM making this leap into it, and yet they don't technically have a complete electric car on the market at the moment that can compete to this. It's more aspiring.
And that's okay.
They've promised it. And they have this huge promise that they're going to have 30 new EVs by the end of 2025. And they're doing it because they're building a common chassis and battery that will work for everything. I'm a huge car buff, and I read more about cars than I read probably about design, and it's probably starting to show. Yeah. So, but I think that's pretty, I was glad in saying, like you said earlier, Jordan, they took a risk in saying, we're not quite there yet, but we're making this promise, so let's, and how can they do an ad right now if they're promising that without a refreshed branding? So I kind of loosened up on that. What do you guys think?
I think my first reaction was like, I think I texted this to you, was like, did Adobe fucking get into the car manufacturing business? And that's like a very like snarky thing, just be, I don't know, like it's the logo is okay, you know. Mm-hmm. it doesn't register with me a whole lot, but neither did the past one. I would say side by side, an improvement, a huge improvement. Like, I don't know, I would take the one on the right every time,
of course.
Mm-hmm. But me too. It's a fine logo for me. It's not offensive, mm-hmm. but also it's like, it's so unoffensive that it's almost offensive. Like, there's, you know, I think it's a risk from where they were, I guess, because they're so big. But at the same time, meh, you know, that's my personal reaction. It's probably going to do really well for them, but it's a meh for me.
Hmm. What do you think, Mikhail? First impressions.
I'm into it. It's very futuristic to me. Without feeling over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that about it. I think in this industry space, you have to. It's a requirement. And I do believe that lowercase is more approachable. And I do appreciate that there's not more emphasis on the G or the M. I wasn't quite sure when my eyes were first on it because of the underlying component. But they work nicely.
Yes.
And with all due respect to COVID and everything, I give them a hand for the edge for having not been there yet, but going for it anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think that that's credible.
It's almost do or die in a lot of these situations. With every company following this lead that Tesla has basically put in, an American company out of nowhere having the success that they're having, you got it.
Yeah.
And having a GM, Ford, all these companies follow in that thing and going like, we're changing our entire thing. We knew about this 20 years ago and didn't do anything. That's really what it's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
And this, I'm looking at it more now, more holistically, like looking at the ad, looking at all the little things, like everybody in, and the EV being in, everybody being blue. Mm-hmm. The white version of the logo looks very nice and understated. It feels comfortable. I think you're right. Lowercase gives you that friendly vibe right off the bat. I'm liking it more again as the time goes by.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think my disconnect, honestly, is like...
Go for it.
I think if they're trying to promote this like innovative, pioneering, future-forward brand, which I'm into, I just visually, from this is strictly design, like, I don't know if using gradation with a thinly weighted bevel and like a drop shadow, I think translate the modern design. In my opinion, like, those are little dated techniques to treat a logo. And so... For me, when I see like the flattened version, I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it does.
Same.
I think it does a better job. I think the build of that lowercase G is fucking dope. I like the negative space plugin, right? Like, I think there's like little welcome nuggets there, and it feels super approachable, and it feels like it fits in the space that they're gonna want to go to. I think the treatment is the issue. I think it's how they treated that logo for me. It's like, it feels maybe 10 years older than it should. Because if it's flat, I think that's the winning route. Maybe that's where they end up going, you know? Like, it's such an easy transition for them to do that. Because they had a lot of bad
reaction. So interesting. I think they needed that gradient. Because it is the future. And it does... This is the future of cars. It has to shine. Mm-hmm. So that's illustrated here. That indication is well done to me. Again, it's just so subjective and awesome. I love this.
Yeah. I mean, these are like... super personal preferences, right?
Yeah.
But like, and even the gradation, I think you can get away with, but
it's all
like,
those
the drop shadow and the bevel, like,
yeah,
you know, those are like built-in Adobe 95 presets. Like, don't I just don't know, man. Like, to me, they feel a little wonky.
I think they had a very hard task too, because pushing someone who traditionally would go and go buy GM and GM only, right?
Yeah.
Or Ford only. I know a lot of those people that just don't even entertain any other manufacturer, right? They're true and true. It's like the Coke Pepsi thing. Mm-hmm. It's like sports teams, all that stuff. So to convince a person who has traditionally bought GM, gas guzzlers, you name it, whatever, if you want it, whatever your perception is of them, they almost had to take maybe the route that I think was predictable for this one and maybe go with that glowing thing. Because there's a lot of controversy saying, like, guys, look at what Tesla did. They got you to buy an electric car because it's sexy, fast, and just insane. It didn't have the highlighted neon blue around the logo to say, guess what, everyone, it's electric.
Yeah.
And so the if you think of the potential buyer here, maybe this is the segue and the, what do you call it, the bridge, the olive branch, to get them, because the Prius was doing that 15 years ago. You know, it had you had a regular Toyota, and then any other Toyota that was somewhat hybrid had that bold neon blue around the badge. And and people go like, look, I don't want to show the world that I bought an EV. I just want to have one because I'm sick and tired of prices of gas. That was kind of it. So their order was like, this was a tall tale order. I have to applaud them for just doing something, being groundbreaking. Did it convince me? No. But I'm not the target person they needed to go after.
Yeah, that's something to take into consideration. You know, time.
But good for them for making this promise. Good for them for, I think them, you know, they've been in dire straits. There's a fantastic interview with the CEO of GM. And I was watching it the other day, and it was just remarkable to see, like, they basically had no other choice. They were losing so much. Based on, you know, not only just electric cars, but people buying foreign cars for their reliability and their value and their ratings. And these American companies just couldn't match that. So yep. Here they are doing this. I think it's just fantastic. I'm going to give it a B plus. Damn. What do you guys think?
I give it a solid B.
I'm going like a solid C. I don't think it was deserving of all the flack it got when it first came out, but like,
yeah,
it also, you know, and again, it's an improvement, but it's just, it's a safe route. I like where they're going as a company. Branding, yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm fine about it. I feel fine about it.
That's on the risk factor, it got a zero from Jordan.
No, they still took a risk. Like, I appreciate what they did. They had to like fight like, you know, generations of like these masculine, like this bullshit, like muscle car vibes in favor of like something more, you know, environmentally conscious. Like, I like that they're leaning into that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
As that, I give them an A.
Yeah.
I just, that treated logo, I can't. It's tough.
So once again, I'm going to go find the best t-shirt I can find with that and send it off to my buddy Jordan.
It's just like the bullshit. Like, that's the problem with the PR too. It's like, we added the gradient to represent sky blue. Like, no, you didn't. You added it because the other one did, and they probably made you like that's where I get a little bit judgmental. It's like this PR stuff. Like, just be
don't hold
it's
back.
Okay.
Don't hold back.
Like, don't sell it to me.
I love it. All right. Our last one is another car company. And this one has some controversy too because of just the mark and the design is of the Kia Motor Company. And this is what Kia wrote: reflecting the brand's broader vision for mobility. I like that these car companies are calling themselves like mobility because they're thinking of everything, even air and underground, and they're thinking all these things. Kia has announced a new corporate name as it expands into business areas to promote sustainable mobility. By removing the motors from its name, Kia's new corporate name shows a commitment to its long-term business strategy. They want to expand into businesses that encompass EVs, mobility solutions, and other services, purpose-built vehicles, and more. The Kia seal is a brand promise by developing the new logo to resemble a handwritten signature. It's got rhythm and unbroken lines to convey Kia's commitment to bringing movement of inspiration, while its symmetry demonstrates confidence.
Okay.
They didn't throw the whole nostalgia
heritage yet. No, I mean, I'm done. I didn't realize that they were even called Kia Motors. That's great.
So
I'm in favor.
Isn't that kind of interesting how they kind of changed that over?
Yeah,
that's kind of neat. It's a controversial thing because a lot of people up first did not think, they thought it looked like K backwards N.
Yeah. I'm not really sure there's an argument to be made for the readability though. Like, consider, like, I'm just not convinced it's a real world problem. They're a huge company. I think people are well aware of who they are. So in this context of this rebrand, like,
yeah,
I don't know if you put out as many products and spend as much time as they do on advertising and marketing, you need to really consider that as much as people say. Like,
yes,
they don't have to introduce themselves to the market. They're not a first-time brand. There's a huge difference in that. And, like, also, when has a car logo ever been let? Like, VW doesn't say Volkswagen. Mercedes Star doesn't say Mercedes. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't – the argument – that was a big one I read on all the comments. But I just feel like – we all know who they are. They're a huge company. There's a disconnect. I don't know. I don't know if it's a problem. I don't think people are going to be like.
But what if someone was walking by the car and went, oh, what is that? That's an attractive car. And they looked at it.
Maybe in the first month. But like, car companies are huge. We're marketed every touch point. Every fucking touch point. Like, we know what the H on a car means. Like, we know Honda. Is it just a weird H, right? Like, we know.
Yeah.
BMW doesn't say BMW necessarily in this like hood. So.
But that takes time. That takes time.
Yeah, but
obviously.
Kia has developed that. I don't think there'll be a problem. Like, I don't think that'll be a detriment
to the brand.
I think
brands. They're going to be just fine.
They're going to be fine. Like, yeah. I get what that, like, yes, it's hard to read Kia, but
I love it. I love the drawing version of it where it shows it being like, and the cuts and the and what is going
it's
there.
Cool.
Dude, it's great. It's like super
Did
forward moving.
Did you know that automotive brands are not registered?
Interesting. Meaning like registered trademarks.
Right. So I have not even TM'd for that matter. Oh no, they can have their slogan. The logo itself.
What's the reasoning?
I don't know the reason. I just remember a number of correspondence means with attorneys years ago when I was supporting a bag case company, mm-hmm. and they would rip off names of cars all the time because they could.
Oh, just because of the openness of it, they couldn't get challenged.
No infringement. Yep.
I wonder why the reason car companies don't, though.
Are you sure? It might be like a weird category, because like I know different cars can be categorized as different things entirely.
Well, and this was so long ago that perhaps things have shifted now too.
Yeah, because I would be surprised if like I could just put Honda crazy on a car and sell it. Like that seems right. Like
It was taking naming of cars that Kia has, for example, or Buick has, utilizing them for
case naming of it or something. That's weird.
Maybe it's an international thing too, because they change their names of their cars based on the markets. You know what I mean? So maybe it's just not worth it to them to do it. And
maybe
who's going to rip off? You can't. There are counterfeit cars.
Yeah.
Honestly, in China, sure, there's.
But like, I also remember watching a video on like copywriting and how important it was to come up with names like those, because they're not real words. So like, it takes a lot of effort. You Camaro. Bring on a whole team, spend like millions of dollars to come up with a word that isn't real that you can own. So I wonder where that fits.
Like, I love, to me, Camaro is still the best name ever made.
I mean, it's honestly, car names are great. Like, you start to think about that and like, that is just a word that didn't exist and it works.
Scirocco. But I'm very happy with this as well, because I know I've known, just being again a bit of a car buff, Kia has had this incredible misalignment with like perception. Yeah. They've been number one in like customer satisfaction, quality, value, not in what do you call it? Resale value.
Yeah.
For some reason, they were dying there. And then their look and brand was, people were like, but it's a Kia. I'm not going to buy.
Yeah, kind of everyone's like value-based.
For my money, I can't get a better car. But guess what? It has a Kia badge on it. Like, that was the argument that and a lot of people were suffering with. Now they're making a huge shift into EV as well. They're basically partnered with Hyundai. So everything, they share a lot of the same parts to be
Hyundai
able to.
Owns like, what, 35% or something? They own something a like big that. Portion of them,
Yep. So they get to kind of have these shared platforms, and it makes for better profitability down the road. I think it's a huge improvement based on particularly the old one, because the old one it just does not say.
Yeah, it's bland enough where premium the bar level. Was set pretty low in my opinion. Like, okay, every car uses an oval. Great, we'll start there. It's like, nope, you've already made a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, and then you have like this weird top half serif. I don't know. Like, the old mark, I get it. Like, that's not a very ownable, unique mark.
Yeah. And it might not have anything in there that you can just say is bad, but it's attached to 20 years of history of Kia being looked at as this, and they want to be now looked at on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It was probably the time for them to do it, and it didn't dawn on me until I actually did see it on the cars, and the way they are applying it there,
pretty
to
dope.
Me, is where really now their cars were always ready, and now their badge is ready. Yeah. That's how I kind of saw it, you know?
Yeah. And at this scale, like, I just think, again, at their scale, this isn't necessarily a recommendation I would have for, like, starting up brands, but you get back into that legibility, like, I think it's more important to have an ownable silhouette. And, like, I see these two marks, and, like, that thing is so unique. Like, I've never seen that, especially in the car world. Like, that's a disruptor a little bit in terms of just what is usually out there.
Yes.
Right? And that, like, sort of trade of car logos. But so I think, like, a total win in that regard. Like, I think it's dope. And you see that, like you said, on the car. You see it in the steering wheel. Like, in application, it works even better.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a huge graduation to me. Yeah. It really is. So in this case, too, I almost feel like we're not even, like, judging the creative execution. Everything looks great. It looks good. I think they didn't go too far out there to scare anybody off away. But what they were able to do was just take the brand and finally give it a proper face, you know, a proper skin.
This is a rebrand. It's not even a refresh. Like, they threw the other one out. There isn't really, I mean, the no notch in the A might be the part that they kept. But, like, honestly, it's so goddamn different from what they had, which I'm into. I think they needed that. They needed that sort of, like, total rebrand and not an evolution. Yes.
It's interesting. It's interesting too to mention they first introduced this as designed completely in house, and then it was also then updated that it was a collaboration with a Germany-based one called Blackspace. So it's kind of neat too. The GM one, I think they're claiming that it was all done in house as well, which is interesting. Yeah. Cadbury was bulletproof, and was BK it was Knowles something did Burger King?
I thought it was I can't remember.
Let's see. Jones, Knowles, Ritchie.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess
previously done by, previously done by another one. But it's neat to hear that some of these ones, I love it when you hear they have an in-house team that, because I always hear of a lot of these folks that work at companies, they have a great in-house department for creative, but when they need something that's high exposure, they're not even tapped into.
Yes,
they go
that's
into these,
true.
And
that's
I feel like sometimes that could lose the DNA. But then I get what the brand agency can bring in as the outsider. You know,
that's a good point.
But that internal perspective, I understand what you mean. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah,
they should be at least consulted or asked about, because I get what I've been there, and I remember going, like, I remember when a company I worked for didn't go to us for the logo and they went to an outside source. I was like, you almost take that personally, you know? But I get now why they were doing it, because let's just face it, we weren't branding people in our creative team. We were product people. So it made sense. Yeah. What do we want to give Kia for a grade?
Do we have to grade them all?
This is the last one. It's like finals are over, Mikkel. Come on, one more. Just got.
I know. You have such that professor approach. It's hilarious.
If you do want to do some real grading, I've got stacks for
guys,
you.
I can't let go of the backward N. It's very difficult for me to shift my eyes to see the I and A. It's very modern. I get it, but it's bothering me a little bit.
Yeah.
I wonder too if the connection point between the I and where it touches the K and where it touches the A, if that was slimmer, but then they're thinking
it's hard to scale.
They gotta think scalability, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
So what's that grade, Mikkel?
Are you guys tired of me giving B's?
No.
To me.
I mean, it's all arbitrary. Like, I don't even know.
I don't want plus or minus. I just want a B at the middle.
Give it a B. Jordan? Yeah.
This one is actually a perfect full circle of, like, when it first rolled out, you know, I immediately was like, it didn't resonate. Like, I didn't like it. And then after it sat, and after, like, even we revisited this for today, like, I dug into it. I'm seeing it more in application. That video, you're seeing how they're using, like, the angles of the letters to, like, create containers for how they market photos. Like, okay, this is dope. Like, I'm into it now. Like, I'm on board. So, like, that's sort of how it works. So, like, you know, sometimes it takes time. Like, we're swimming, right? We're going long haul.
So the splash is done. The splash is done.
But first impression is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's true. But it feels like it's almost, that's why, like, focus groups, I think, can be a bad way to test, because, like, gut reactions, again, we all primarily go negative on change, right? Like, it's a weird thing. So rebrands, first reactions, I don't know. But I feel like they're taking a risk. And so I'm into that. I feel like it's way more bolder, way more adventurous than where they were.
Like that.
And I applaud that. Anyone for doing that. And so I'm giving them a nice, like, B+ on that. Cause I think, I'm feeling good.
I'm a bitch of the group.
I'm going to go A-. Because I've been waiting for Kia to get this, like, little spotlight on them.
Yeah, and you know what? Their existing logo is sorry.
It's Rent-A-Car.
It looks like they only bought stock options. You know what I mean? In the car.
Kia went from Rent-A-Car to now like a serious contender.
I agree.
Yeah.
So that's true. To me, I want to think, like, possibilities of what the logo can do.
Yeah.
I agree with you too. There's still a bit of a hang up on that. The N, backwards N, in a way. But now that I see it right, I don't see the end anymore, but it took a second or two.
It's going to achieve. I think if their goal was really to, like, kind of pull away from the value base into, like, a more higher tier, like, provider, like, I think this accomplishes that. Like, this is, to me, is a very successful rebrand. Cause you're right. Where, like, it looks like a dope brand now. It doesn't look like something that was just like sort of the stock rent-a-car.
Yeah.
And so,
prices have gone up.
You know, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Their average car was like 16, 18 grand. Now it's like 35. So
yeah. And remember that the
if that's only from a rebrand.
What's the one that the Soul, their Soul?
Yes.
So that forever was nothing down, 99 a month, remember?
Yeah.
And then there were safety precautions because it's like a tin on wheels. People weren't worried about that.
Is that the one with the weird wrapping window around the side?
Yeah.
Dude,
it is.
That was the Nissan version of the same idea.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But then these big heads with NBA started promoting the Kia the hamsters? So heavily.
And the hamsters. Was it the hamsters that they did
that
the dance?
Was that Kia? That might have been.
Yeah. Oh, that was Kia.
Kia.
But, they have a $65,000 luxury sedan. So, like, yeah. You can't – what they were doing was they weren't even putting the old logo on it.
Yeah.
It was better to have no identity than problem. To have that identity.
Dude, that's a huge problem.
Can you imagine?
So, like, yeah, this is, like, a total success. Like, this achieved probably a lot for them.
Good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, that was great. I think this was we approached it, I think, in the right way. We were able to get some good little snarks in there, which is good too. That's always fun with these rebands, you know. Yeah. But we hope you guys enjoyed that thing too. We have this little PDF that we'll include with this. If not, just you can go to either Brand New if you're a subscriber there. That's a great one to go to. A lot of these are on Dyline, or you can just do a quick Google search. If for some reason you didn't find our PDF, we'll have it in the show notes as well. But let us know, again, any new show ideas. We're building up quite a bit of a library right now, episode topic ideas and things like that. But please also do us a favor. Spread the word. Tell a friend if you liked what you heard. Give us a great rating on wherever you are listening and subscribe, because you'll get the notification as soon as anything comes up new for future episodes. So with that, yeah, this was great, guys. I love the little report card.
Dude, it was super fun.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we will see you all soon. Good luck with everything. Take care. Bye-bye.